It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, good morning and welcome to Speak Out for a Thursday, September 16th, 2021. And normally we would have sound advice with Brian Springberg. Brian will be in the studio here in about 15 minutes or so. And, of course, Brian with Springberg Wealth Management. But we've got a special guest on the Speak Out talk line, and his name is Doug Poehling. Doug is representing the 5th annual hashtag You Matter Walk for Suicide Prevention. Doug, are you still with me?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the program, especially this close to the event, which is this Saturday, September 18th at Rotary Park here in Lake Havasu City. Now, Bob Feliciano and you started this some 5 years ago. Why don't you tell me the beginnings of the Walk for Suicide Prevention?
Absolutely. I'm a school psychologist with Lake Havasu Unified School District, and about 6 years ago, the local newspaper did an article on suicide and interviewed me. And when the paper came out, it didn't even make it till noon, and Bob called me. I didn't know Bob. He was from California. And Bob had a son who had committed suicide about 6 years earlier. He was in college in California. And Bob wanted to get something together to help our community with suicide awareness and prevention. And so that was kind of the beginnings of hashtag You Matter.
I got it. And how did the hashtag You Matter come about? I understand the relevance with social media, but how did that happen?
Well, we talked about a lot of different names that we could have for our group, but the You Matter, it seemed like a lot of people that commit suicide or contemplate suicide don't feel as though they matter. And so we felt like that was really important. And then at the end, we put the semicolon. And the semicolon stands for a pause, a break. It's not the end. And so a lot of people actually are getting tattoos of the semicolon to indicate that they might be struggling with suicidal ideation, but it's not the end. They're going to continue on.
Wow, how interesting. And by the way, people can still register for this event, which takes place Saturday at Rotary Park. There's a rally at 7:30. The walk starts at 8 a.m. Doug, tell us how people can get involved and still register, and what's the cost of that, and what do they get for that registration?
Absolutely. You can go to the Havasu Community Health Foundation website, and it's right there when you click on the website. You just sign up. The registration fee is $25, and it includes our fifth annual Havasu Suicide Awareness and Prevention Walk t-shirt. We will begin at 8 a.m. We'll have a short rally with presentation of the American flag and things like that, and then we'll walk, and you can share that with your family and friends. I think we're going to have another gorgeous day for the walk.
How deeply does this subject touch the community, as in how many participants do you normally have for this event?
We had, the 2 years ago, we had about 350 walkers. Last year, because of COVID, we had to do it virtually, so people did it wherever they were. I happened to be in Phoenix, and my family and I, we did our walk there. This year, I think we have about 175 walkers scheduled at this time, but you can still register. You can even sign up the day of the walk down at Rotary Park at Ramada C, and you can get your shirt there as well.
I was just going to ask you that, and for those people who don't know Rotary Park very well, maybe they're new to the community or they just don't go to the park very often. As you drive in, where is that?
When you drive into Rotary off of Smoke Tree there, make a left, just veer left, and go all the way down. It's almost to the skate park that we have down there. And you'll see us. We'll set up. We have a DJ, and there will be quite a few people there already. And we're going to provide, Starbucks has provided coffee for us, and we'll have water available and such.
Oh, it sounds like a great event and a great cause as well. Where do the proceeds go, by the way, Doug?
The You Matter Group, our mission is to raise awareness and to provide prevention strategies in our community. And so we have provided a peer-to-peer support group for those survivors of suicide, and that would be family members who have lost a loved one to suicide. We have four of our members of our group trained in mental health first aid, where they go into businesses and other places in the community, and they present on mental health first aid, how to talk to people that may be suicidal. We've offered speakers. We had Kevin Hines a couple years ago, and we have another one coming up next March. And we're in the process of putting baskets together for the surviving families of a suicide that will include things like gift cards to restaurants, gas cards, and most importantly, a list of the available resources that are available in our community.
You know, that's a really good point I was going to touch on right there, is resources that are available, because this event takes place once a year, but people who are contemplating suicide, or those people who may be suicide survivors or the family members of somebody who took their own life, what kind of resources are out there for them?
Like I mentioned, we have a peer-to-peer support group where we've been trying to do it once a month, depending on if we have people that are interested. You know, our local mental health agencies like Mojave Mental Health and Southwest Behavioral. In the school district, every school in our district has a school psychologist. We also have, just starting this year, every school has a school counselor as well.
Sure. I want to give out the website for Havasu Community Health. It's havasucommunityhealth.org. You still have time to register. $25 includes a t-shirt. You can show up at the rally at 7:30 a.m. and register as well. Walk-ups are welcome, if you will. And it's the 5th annual Havasu Suicide Awareness and Prevention Walk. Hashtag You Matter semicolon. I got it in there that time.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Anything else you want to cover before I let you go?
I was just going to, if I could briefly just talk about a couple statistics that we have. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in 10 to 24-year-olds. I think that's staggering. In Lake Havasu, our police department has some numbers where over about the last 12 or 15 years, they've kept track of the suicides, and we've been averaging about 20 per year in our community. However, the last 2 years, we've been down to about 9 or 10, which is quite an improvement. And I don't know if that's due to more awareness and that maybe suicide isn't the taboo topic that it was years ago.
Well, we might attribute that to people like you who work right there on the front lines with students in our school system.
Well, I think our school district has made a commitment to you know, having more counselors and more psychologists, and it's really necessary. And hopefully we do have a positive impact.
Well, we certainly appreciate your service to the community in that respect. And again, the website is havasucommunityhealth.org. It's the fifth annual Havasu Suicide Awareness and Prevention Walk this Saturday. Again, the rally's at 7:30 with the preliminary ceremonies and that kind of thing. And then the walk is at 8 a.m. How long of a walk can people expect to go on?
It's an out and back. It starts at Rotary at Ramada Sea. It goes along the channel underneath the bridge. It makes a little loop around the fountain in the London Bridge Village there and then back. You can actually stop at any point and turn around and return if you'd like to. I think we'll have four water stations along the way. We'll have the Havasu Ham Radio Club will be there, so if we have some kind of medical emergency, they can call it in. But it's about 2.25 miles, I believe, round trip.
Oh, that's not too bad. We should have nice weather this Saturday as well. Highs near 105 at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, you might have 85, 90-degree weather, so not too bad. But
I think it'll be nice.
Yeah, good luck with the turnout. Sounds like you're going to have a lot of people at Rotary Park this Saturday. And Doug, thanks so much for joining us on Speak Out, and give my best to Bob Feliciano as well.
I certainly will, and thank you for having me.
All right, we appreciate you being here. All right, again, that's Doug Paling. He is representing the fifth annual hashtag You Matter Walk for Suicide Prevention. I'm Paul LaVoie. Speak Out will continue in a moment. I think I'm going to choose, since Brian's not here, I'm picking Jerry Lee Lewis. How's that? Little Great Balls of Fire as we go to break. Stay with us on Speak Out.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. A little more Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer.
Yeah.
And it's Brian Springberg is with us.
Here I am.
You're there.
I'm here.
You're there.
Loud and
you
clear.
Can't hear yourself?
No.
Should be able to.
I'm echoing in my own head.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the mic or
my
headphones.
I was going to say there's medication for that.
Maybe it is the medication.
Speak Out, brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford also. Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank. Our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien, was spot on. They help with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. tobryan with an E at spoton.com. And, of course, Springberg Wealth Management. I wanted to tell everybody about this event that's happening tonight at Telesis. There's an open house, Telesis Preparatory Academy, tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Tickets are 5 for a dollar. Excluding concessions, games, activities, popcorn, a book fair, a dunk tank. I understand some volleyball players and more than likely their coach. They're starting up a new athletic program at Telesis, and they already have girls volleyball. And it looks like the coach is going to be in the dunk tank from what I understand. And if you want more information, it's telesis-academy.org. And here's Brian.
Hey.
I just threw you in there, man.
Hi.
What are you going to do, right? Tony Soprano would say, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So currently, U.S. markets in the S&P 500 diversified down about 0.2%. The NASDAQ about even, just slightly negative. Overall, the Dow Jones currently at 34,746, so down approximately 750 points or so from its all-time highs. And again, as a percentage, that's just not a whole lot. And I know that sometimes it seems tempting when you see red arrows to think that the world's ending or the stock market's crashing or what have you, and the reality is that to think of it this way, if for us to have a 10% correction, which is a correction starts at 10%, supposed to happen every 4 years on average. It's been 13 years since we've seen that in a given year. We've had major corrections intra-year, but as far as a calendar year, we haven't seen one since 2008. So if we were to have a 10% correction, which is not the end of the world, it's supposed to happen, that would be the Dow dropping 3,500 points. Or, in other words, instead of being at around 35,000, you would see a precipitous drop, you know, 31.5.
Right.
You know, and we're at 34.7. So
that sounds really funny to say a correction would result in 31.5 for the Dow overall.
Yeah, which is still
a huge
number. Yeah. And so I just reminding you that when you're investing, when you're thinking of how to react and if you've got money to get to work, you need to keep that in mind as part of your overall strategy. If we continue kind of down that road, you know, the S&P 500 has seen just a couple of serious bear markets if we go back to 2000, 2001, 2002, when September 11th occurred in our country, when the tragedy occurred, the stock market was actually already in a bear market. In other words, the tech bubble had burst in 2000. Then in 2001, September 2001, you know, a year and a half later, after we had actually started recovering from that, September 11th occurred. And even after we started recovering from that, we went through corporate scandal and all kinds of, you know, scares of white powder showing up at the Capitol and, you know, lots of volatility. And then, of course, we all remember from the big bear market from 2007 until March of 2009 and how devastating that was. If we think of the fact that if that and then, of course, the temporary bear market we had last year when the pandemic first hit, you know, 35% in 3 months or whatever, and then, of course, the huge recovery pretty much ever since. Three major bear markets in the last 20 years. We're talking 32-33% decline 2000 to 2002. We're talking at its worst a 55% decline in the U.S. market in 2008 to the beginning of 2009. We're talking the 35% decline last year. If you throw all that in the mix in the last 20 years, the S&P 500 has averaged 9.4% per year, which is fantastic. And that's through just last Friday on September 10th.
I read or heard somewhere that IBM had switched from the Dow, the Dow to the NASDAQ or the other way around? Does that have any effect on either of those indexes?
It doesn't have, well, it definitely can have effect on the indexes. And all it means is that when we're talking about what's the average of the U.S. stock market,
right.
Well, the Dow is just 30 stocks. The S&P 500 obviously is 500 and much more diversified amongst various industries. But as companies grow inside the U.S. and they supplant companies that aren't as large, they get kicked to the curb from the index just because of size. You know, size does matter, right, in the S&P 500 at least.
Sure.
And so it makes the complexion of that change. So as tech companies become more and more of a part of our, quote, you know, market, then they'll have a bigger place in the S&P 500 and get rid of sort of the old stalwarts of what we thought of, you know, the backbone of America in terms of, you know, Chevron, Texaco's, and the Bank of America's, and while there's still that in there, some of the, you know, the big industrial, some of those are getting replaced as the world changes.
Now, something that people locally can relate to, Dutch Bros. Dutch Bros Coffee mm-hmm. had an IPO and raised quite a bit of money after that initial public offering. Their stock jumped 60% from what I understand. Is that something that you advise people to how do you advise people when it comes to IPOs and investing their money?
So Boy, I mean, how do you answer
that? Is
that
a loaded
question?
Well, it is,
because obviously you're going to say, well, do I believe in that company? Do I believe in that product? Is the timing right relative to the economy? Is that sector? I mean,
right.
There's all those particular to that. The specific answers are, you know, depends on the company. But there are some rules of thumb, and that is this, is that you have to be cautious. Oftentimes when an IPO, you know, initial public offering, when a company goes public, there is a lot of excitement. And you can see those stocks in the first day or two double and triple and quadruple. You can also see then the day after that,
the correction,
that people come back down to earth.
Sure.
And that stock come back down to what it was initially sold for, or actually even below.
Yeah, look at Facebook.
Facebook was a perfect example. When Facebook came out, it was, of course, super exciting, and it kind of jumped out of the gate, and then Facebook absolutely nosedived.
Well, people were asking, where are they raising their money? How is this a revenue generator?
Right. And then,
yeah,
obviously since then, they have done phenomenally well. And so it really can be quite volatile. Like any individual stock or anything like that, when you're investing along those lines, you have to be able to psychologically withstand volatility and also financially, meaning that if that should go the wrong direction, it's not money that you need in the short term, because, of course, you could find yourself absolutely devastated if you're putting too much in that way. And so some people it works out for, but sometimes it doesn't. And that's why, you know, again, going back to the example I was giving of three dramatic, huge downturns in the last 20 years. And if you've been investing for 20 years, just in the U.S. stock market, 9.4% is pretty darn good, given those things. So you got to kind of weigh that out. Now, housing continuing to do pretty well, although it is definitely starting to slow. And I think I mentioned that there are more and more outlets starting to think 2022, you could really start seeing a slowdown of some significance on a national level. You know, the value of a single family home in the U.S., if we go June 30 of last year through June 30 of this year, has increased on average 17.4% over the last 12 months. That's on average. So if you've got areas like, say, Lake Havasu that have seen above average increases in pricing, in some cases, you know, 20-30% in value, like anything in this world, if something is able to spike that much in a short period of time, then you also have to have some expectation that it will correct and it's going to give some of that back, because that is not like a long-term uptick. It's not like all of a sudden in 12 months the world decides that all the houses here in town are worth 30% more than they were last year. Now, yeah, in real time, price of materials, price of labor, scarcity, the amount of money in the economy, all that makes it worth it at that moment in time. But as those things change, that's what actually affects the value of building a home or buying a home anywhere. And those factors, of course, will change. We're going to take our break right now. If you have any questions on these topics or anything affecting your own personal investment portfolio, give a shout here. Happy to help you out here on Sound Advice and Speak Out.
You might not recognize this one from Jerry Lee, but I recognize the name. Mean Woman Blues. I can relate.
I've been there,
done that. All right, Paul LaVoy along with Brian Springberg. Sound advice from Brian Springberg and Springberg Wealth Management. Reminds me, we had a phone call at the station this morning saying, where's Speak Out 2.0? Where's Larry? Did you guys cancel him? And no, the answer is Larry will be back on Monday at 10 o'clock. Right after the news, of course, and the weather. And I just thought of that, Brian, because if you have one call, the rule is there's probably 1,000 people wondering but are afraid to call, right? But in Larry's case, it's more like 5,000. So anyway, Never fear, Larry Tuneforce will be back on the air starting this Monday. Sorry he didn't tell you all that before he left 2 weeks ago. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brian Springberg. Speak Out will continue.
Jelly is a thing for me. I got a woman for me, she can be. Sometimes I think she's almost near me. Wailing on the corner like an old tomcat. Shouting and shaking almost on my back. Who walks by? Me, oh my. Jumping your horse up for a big blonde baby. Yes, indeed, she flipping.
Big blonde baby. Gotta love that, Brian. Can you get up that high like big blonde baby?
I cannot. I can't. My voice is like my politics. It's not too high. It's not too low. Somewhere in the middle.
It's kind of flat.
I can't. I try to.
Flat it ain't.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, also Mojave Community College, GDK CPA, LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herbs Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and by Bobby and Julie Lewis at the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, also with Brian Vesley and Lori Rule. And a reminder on our sports station tonight, ooh, big game tonight, man. You hear about this matchup?
No.
The Giants at the Washington football team? My goodness.
Yeah. Dozens of people watching that.
That's like everybody plays, right? Every team in the NFL must be on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
Yeah.
So they said, well, this isn't a big rating.
Let's just get it over with.
Yeah. This isn't a Nielsen book or anything. Let's just throw these two up there. So if you saw them last weekend, the New York Football Giants and the Washington football team, hopefully one of them will win. It won't be a draw. Anyway, that's tonight at 4:30. On our sports station, 980 AM, 94.3, 100.5, KNTR Sports. Welcome to the team, Big Blonde Baby.
Yeah, so here's another factoid I didn't know until actually this morning. Because we talk about how thin the labor force is and, you know, causality for that. Well, here's something else. 2.05 million Americans on average have retired each year over the previous 8 years ending in 2019.
Wait, run that by me again?
Call it 2 million Americans on average have retired for the 8 years up until 2019.
Okay.
Last year, 3.2 million people retired.
Whoa.
So, obviously, you would think COVID-related in some way, or maybe just downsizing, got fired,
forced
difficulties
retirement.
In the economy, whatever, yeah, whatever you want to call it. That's a third more people retired than usual, a million. And if you look at so far year-to-date 2021, I don't have the figures. I'm assuming that trend is probably as, if not more, pronounced. So, not only are people changing what they're doing, for earned income, not off the government. That's done. And, you know, magically, is there suddenly everybody going to work? No, because, like I said, that was just an editorial point of view, not a factual point of view of what was causing the majority of that labor and is causing that labor shortage. It's a shift in what people are doing. And they're getting away from working for other people in a major way. More small businesses started than any other time in the history of the United States. SBA loans flying out the door left, right, and center.
What about student loans? Do we know?
Oh, in other words,
was there an increase in student loans?
I don't know, but yeah, I think there was an increase. In other words, of instead of working, people, you know, going to full time, going to college,
oh, I believe
and going
that.
To their education,
sure.
Because of downsizing in the workforce. You know, all these things coming into play, but I didn't think about, yeah, that's right, more people actually retired and are pulling out of the workforce themselves. And so, you know, here we are still, even with the, you know, financial incentives having already ended in many states or now ending for everybody, because on the federal level, it's still this major issue. In fact, one of the concerns about our economy is somewhat that, but more supply line related. in intertwining with that is that, boy, if you can't sell stuff because you don't have it, because it's not getting shipped or it's not getting produced in the numbers you need it, it's going to obviously have a negative economic effect. That's okay to corporations as long as people are still willing to overpay or pay more than usual for those things because of the scarcity. But at some point, people are going to say, yeah, no, I'm not going to be willing to pay 40% more or 50% more or 60% more to build my casita or to buy a vehicle or an RV over sticker price or whatever is happening out there. And when that happens, that's going to be okay if supply line issues have dropped. But I'll tell you, it's going to be a negative for corporate America if they have not. In other words, it's okay because your bottom line revenue, your net profits are good even if you're selling less stuff, you're charging more, and you're actually the same or ahead of where you would have been anyway. But if you're selling less stuff and you can't charge as much anymore, look out to corporate earnings, therefore look out to the stock market. These are the things that govern whether the market will rise or fall, not political party affiliation. And you know, the tax considerations. I think I've mentioned on the show that I thought some of them were, you know, fair. Others of them I thought were very unfair. And you're seeing negotiations on a huge level. I'm kind of reading the cliff notes on it, because the tax proposal policies right now are changing like every week, and that's before they're even really brought out of, you know, the Democratic committees in the House and the Senate and the White House. They're all, you know, basically negotiating amongst themselves before it goes and, you know, to the Republicans for, of course, a probably we'd expect it, no vote across the board. But they can't even agree to get it to that point. And that was what I was hoping for, because what it's looking like is some of the more onerous provisions in there that weren't, in my opinion, fair to small business, predominantly. Corporation, big corporations, you know, some of them they deserve. But a lot of small businesses I thought were going to be unfairly harmed, and a lot of that seems to be kind of being thrown out the window, and I just hope that they see that through in that way.
I mean, you can say what you will about the Republican Party on Capitol Hill, but I could see a lot of squishy Republicans, or moderate Republicans, if you will, going with Democrats for a slightly higher corporate tax rate, say of 25%. I could see that happening.
Well, for sure. In fact,
I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I could see that happening.
Well, it's all in, there's so much that goes on beyond just the face of that, right?
Oh, sure.
And how they do it. Like, hey, we'll lower your tax rate, but we'll maybe get rid of some regulation, or we'll give you this government contract, or God
knows. Here's
$5
billion for your airport.
I don't know what's going on, you know, but in the end, it is interesting, and that's already happened as well, that increase has been ratcheted down, and done in those ways. And I just think those are encouraging signs to where, you got to raise revenue if you're going to pay, you know, to pay for some of these things that you're trying to push through. And at least they're doing that, because don't forget, it was only a couple of years ago that we hugely increased spending and decreased revenue by decreasing taxes, as opposed to decreasing spending while we decreased tax revenue. So now you're talking about increasing spending and then hopefully some kind of a reasonable way to pay for it. We're not going to like it. I can tell you that. It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. It's not going to be that. It's going to be reasonably painful. I don't know how to quite phrase that. But that's just so you know. And the stock market is watching that. More closely than you and I and whatever news source you're watching, it's not as though the people who are managing tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, mm-hmm. aren't a little bit more in the know than you and I, and again, editorials from news, you know, outlets, as far as what it should be doing to the stock market. They price it in real time. So if there was a really big concern about where this was going to end up, then we would be in a correction. The Dow would be down 3,500 points, concerns over those things. But you're not seeing that at the moment. Not to say that there aren't other reasons, as I was just discussing, that definitely that could happen. And included in that is the ongoing question mark of, regardless of how, whether or not governments close anything down, state, county, city, federal level here in the United States, it's still a negative impact to businesses when people are sick and not coming in, or people are nervous and not going out and spending money, or they're nervous what's going to happen, so they're, again, their spending habits change. These are all things that do play a pretty significant role.
So back to the 3.2 million people who retired, mm-hmm. As a direct or indirect result of COVID, and that do. Obviously, a lot of those were early retirements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, yeah, it's a million more than usual.
Or is that, are those Social Security numbers of people that drew at age 63?
Yeah. There's,
what's early retirement? 63?
Early Social Security, you can get it starting at age 62.
At 60 now, but my early retirement will be at 67 because of the year I was
No, that's
born,
normal.
Right?
That's normal retirement is 67.
Oh, I thought it was raised to 70.
No.
Oh,
70
okay.
is the
mandatory.
Is the maximum amount of time you can. You're not going to get any more credit if you wait past 70 to get your Social Security.
Oh, okay.
That all being said, so I'd be surprised if those numbers didn't change upward. But right now, that's where they're
so
at.
So my question is, how do people know when it's okay to retire early like that?
Well, you're obviously with your financial advisor.
You're obviously going to take a little bit less money.
Yeah, you have to weigh that out. That is always what you're weighing out. Retiring to a quality of life because you're not working that you always dreamed of or you want, or you don't know how long you're going to live, or whatever your health is failing or whatever's in your head. With, can you afford to do it in the way you want to? And you have to weigh that out. Most people aren't in the position of, I've got more money than I really, you know, need to worry about.
This is more than I counted on.
Maybe I'll retire at 60, 62, 65. I'll just go with it and see. Most people, you know, you're like, okay, if I have to wait till Medicare age 65 and I don't have to pay for individual health insurance, I'll go onto a Medicare plan with a Medicare supplement. That combined with my Social Security revenue from my investments or my real estate, rental properties or pension or whatever it is, what does that look like to me on a month-to-month basis? How much do I get to keep in emergency reserves? How much do I keep for maybe health care when I'm 86? All that goes into the mix of when I'm working with somebody to that. So those people made a conscious decision of, you know, I'm kind of over working in this environment or going back to work. And so more people chose to do that when they might not have if things were, you know, normal, mm-hmm. Whatever that is. And so that's kind of what goes into the mix. So we're going to hit our last break of the hour here. We'll be back with the killer. Taking us out here on National Marry Your Cousin Day.
Oh, man.
That was your line.
It was.
You didn't
it
really
was.
Want me to say it?
I had forgotten.
Oh,
I didn't
okay.
know. I didn't know if it was National Marry Your Cousin Day or National Bigamy Day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
it's awful bigamy.
It's a...
Oh. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a Hallmark card for that.
I don't know, but we need a new joke writer. That's for sure. Back with more in a moment on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul LaVoy. Stay with us. Make it shake. Come on over. Oh, a lot of shake going on. Oh, let's go.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumbling down. You leave me breathless.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Sound advice with Brian Springberg from Springberg Wealth Management with a final shot. Got about 5 minutes, Brian.
So this year, estimated GDP growth, you know, the gross domestic product, economic growth of the U.S., prognostications were about 6.4%. Those might be throttled back a little bit depending upon the back half of the year and how COVID kind of ends up affecting things. Next year, the IMF, International Monetary Fund, was predicting that to drop to 3.5% going back a couple months ago. So that'll be revised. But just so you think of it in these terms is that expectations is that economic growth will slow next year, and as of a couple of months ago, just a little bit less than half of what it was this year. The Eurozone expectations are muted for this year, 4.4% as opposed to U.S. 6.4%. However, slightly better than the U.S. is prognosticated for next year. And then emerging markets, India, China, and the like, are expected to be slightly ahead of the U.S. By the end of the year in growth, and 5%, so pretty robust next year. Now, these are predictions, and there's different kinds of risks and all that, but when you're looking at your portfolio and weighing, you know, where's my money, and you know, kind of where are trends looking to go in terms of growth, you definitely want to take that into some consideration as far as, you know, what's going to be coming. The other side, though, that does give me some comfort, even if there's a downturn, is that Americans, although the economy's booming and growing, they are saving at a decent rate right now, which is encouraging, which is what we'd like to see. So to give you an idea, the amount of corporate cash in trillions of dollars in the U.S. this year is expected to, over from the last 20 years, be an increase of about 25%, pushing into the almost $3.5 trillion range. Consumer savings rate was pretty sad for a while. It's been sad up until a significant spike last year, of course, because one, people's spending habits changed because they couldn't spend because of COVID, or they were afraid to spend, or don't forget, significant PPP loans were given out, unemployment benefits. I mean, there was just a lot of money being thrown by governments here and around the world into the system. And those savings rates actually dropped considerably the first half of this year, but now that COVID has spiked again, they are reversing to now we're somewhere about $2.75 trillion in consumer, you know, personal savings rates. Mm-hmm. That, by the way, when we compare to where we were going back 20 years ago, you know, we were at about 500 billion. In other words, we weren't even at a trillion. We were half a trillion, and now we're at 2.75. So that is encouraging, and that's what you want to see, because what that tells us is that in the event of a downturn, people have saved, people have been conservative, there's always room for a little emergency reserves, because things don't go up forever.
Right.
Hey, listen, everybody, have an amazing weekend. The weather is starting to get just beautiful in the morning and the evenings especially. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next time around here on Sound Advice and Speak Up.
All right. I believe we won't see you next week, Brian. Actually, we're going to have Sheriff Doug Schuster in the studio. So you might want to steer clear of here, Brian, just because the sheriff's going to be in town.
That's why I'm getting out.
All right. And speaking of future guests, tomorrow we'll have Go Lake Havasu CEO Terrence Concannon on the show, along with Mike Bonney, GDK CPA LLC. All right. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. Take it safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
Voice of the Free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.